I actually prepared two homilies this week. How'd you like to hear them both? Scared you, didn't I? Well, I gave one last night, and I'm going to give the other one today. These are such rich readings. But I want to start with a story that isn't really related to my homily, but it's so interesting, I can't pass it up. I'm surprised more people haven't heard this. It's a true story. It was in a couple of the newspapers I get. It was an agnostic man an agnostic is somebody that couldn't care less whether God exists or not. Maybe he exists, maybe he doesn't, but I have nothing to do with him. He's not interested in me, and I'm not in him. Sometimes they're hostile, often they're indifferent. A lot of people in our society would be agnostic. So this man was having a religious discussion with someone, and a true story, and he said, well, you know what? I'll believe in God if my mother wins the lottery. She plays the lottery all the time. If she wins the lottery, I'll believe in him. The next day, she won $1 million in the lottery. Do you know what number she played? His birthday. He's a Christian now. Don't you love that story? There's a bunch of relatives of mine I like them to have that same experience, you know. It's like, why, God, are you so hidden? You know, he doesn't make himself so clear to us. And we find this is true in the gospel today, is Jesus really leaves a lot of people wondering what the heck he's talking about. It's not clear at all. He says to the Jews, see, John says real clearly, he's speaking to a Jewish audience. Now, John is writing many years afterward when there are many Gentiles in the church. But in those days, they were all Jews, and this is why they're scandalized, is because they're Jews. A Gentile wouldn't have had this reaction. So it's a Jewish audience. Many are probably very educated. Some knew him from Nazareth. Some were very simple fishermen, but they weren't all uneducated. Rabbis, Pharisees, all listening to him. And he says, right before this reading, he says, you're all following me because you have been fed. And you've seen these miracles. It's like, you don't want to go to Safeway. So you're following me so you'll be able to get this free bread. He says, I am the bread, the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats me will live forever. Well, some of the people there are thinking, my gosh, this guy's from Nazareth. We watched him grow up. We knew his mother and father. What does he mean? He's the living bread that came down from heaven. It's almost like I come to you and I say, I'm the Martian that was born on the planet Venus. You know, you say, well, no, you weren't. You were born in Columbus, Ohio, you know. People knew him. So they didn't understand. Jesus was used to using metaphors. I'm the gate. I'm the I am the vine. These kinds of things. I am the light of the world. I am the living bread that came down from heaven is a little bit more edgy. And then he says, if you eat this bread that I will give, you will live forever. So, this is a very unusual phrase. At the time of Christ, there was a huge debate going on in Judaism about whether eternal life existed for human beings. God did not make this completely clear at that time. The Pharisees believed in it, the Sadducees did not. And so there was this debate. The last time previous to this, that you would have heard this is in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve have taken the wrong apple, and then God says, we must prevent them from eating of the tree of life and so live forever. It's for their own good. Now Christ is saying, if you eat me, you will live forever. You see, he's the new tree of life. And so he immediately, an educated Jew would go back to Adam and Eve and think, this is where we had this promise of eternal life that humanity lost. We all feel in our hearts there's more to life than this world, that life is too short. Everyone feels that when they get older. It's within us. So Jesus says, if you eat me, you will live forever. Now God is the only being created, he's uncreated, but everything else in creation, whether it's angels or human beings or anything else we don't know about, all of it borrows life from God. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they alone have life within themselves. They are life. scientists want to know where life came from. God is life. This is where life comes from. And to have eternal life, we have to borrow it from God. Right now, we all have life, but it is not in our nature to live forever. We're human beings. We're flesh and blood. We return to the earth. We're not angelic. They by nature have eternal life. We do not. We have to borrow it from God. So Jesus then, they start to murmur and they say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Eating flesh of a human being is specifically prohibited in the law. Nobody would want to do that. They're thinking he's a cannibal. That's a charge that was leveled against the early church as well. So he, instead of correcting that, he goes on and says, he makes it even worse. He says, amen, amen. Truly, I say to you, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood or you don't have any life in you. He goes on to say it seven times. That's the divine number, seven times. And he goes on and on, especially his flesh is food, my blood is drink. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you remain in me. If you feed on me, you'll have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Remember, in Moses tells them that it's not just manna that feeds you. He made you hungry for the word of God. So Jesus is the word. He feeds us with the word. He feeds us with his flesh. This is the mass. The whole mass is contained in these readings. If we're not fed with the word of God, we're not fed with the Eucharist, we're spiritually malnourished. So many people in this world are only being fed by the media and by junk food. And so they're spiritually malnourished, like my agnostic friend, that true story. They're completely unaware of God because he can't get in, you know. So these people get very scandalized. We have to understand why they're scandalized. It's not just they think he's a cannibal. Even the pagans wouldn't have understood that one. But they might have thought he's speaking metaphorically, except that he repeats it and repeats it and does not explain. So in the law, it was not valid to drink the blood of strangled animals. In other words, if you want to have steak, it has to be well done. See, that kind of thing. If you have any sort of blood from an animal, you partake of the life of that animal, because for an ancient, blood was life. That's where the seed of life was in the blood. So therefore, it would be a lowering of the person to that nature of the animal you're consuming to drink its blood. This is the reason for the prohibition later on. In the beginning, these prohibitions were for sanitary reasons, for the Jews wandering through the desert. But later on, they spiritualized it and said, this is what they believed. We don't do this because we won't lower ourselves to that level. Jesus knows this. He's speaking to a Jewish audience. He knows they understand this. And he says, deliberately, you must drink my blood or you have no life in you. So what he's saying then is that when you drink my blood and eat my flesh, I will raise you to my level. I will put the seed of divinity within you. You will indeed become that which you drink and eat, just as the rabbis taught you. Only to eat and drink me will not lower your nature, it will raise it. See, that's why he says, I'm going to raise you up on the last day if you eat and drink of my flesh and blood. It's a very Jewish argument. We wouldn't understand it without understanding Judaism. That's why sometimes it's very important to have a Bible commentary or an explanation. We don't understand his argument, and they didn't either. This argument that he uses, if I gave a homily like this, some barn burner like this, and what happens to afterward is that most of the people went away. They said, this is intolerable. How can he speak like this? He's a lawbreaker. They didn't understand the argument. Jesus watches them go. What if I gave a sermon and 3/4 of the people walked out and came back no more? But that's what happened with Jesus. He separated the wheat from the chaff. And then he turns to his disciples and he says, are you going to leave too? And they say, well, where else can we go? What a vote of confidence that was. Gee, thanks a lot, Peter. But then he goes on to say, Peter says, we have come to believe, we know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They stuck with Jesus because they had faith in him. And this is, I think, one of the keys of this reading, is that when things get really tough in our lives, God does not always explain himself. Sometimes we're very fortunate and we win the lottery right after we ask for it. And if that happens to any of you, don't forget St. Ed's. a little tithe plug in there. But most of the time, you know, you ask God for help and it's a while coming. You ask for an explanation and I don't get one right away. Instead, I get suffering. I had a backache 3 weeks ago that was die for. It was so bad I couldn't even go to the retreat part of the time. Now I've got a pinched nerve, and I said, what? Again, Lord? You know, and he said, you know, there's no answer to this. He says, well, it's that time of life, Gary. Well, if there's a better explanation, I'm waiting to hear it. You know, God says, trust me. And if I don't have a relationship with him, I'm liable to get mad at him and say, the heck with you. I'm not going to follow you anymore. I don't understand you. You don't answer my prayers. You don't explain. I'm leaving you. A lot of people do. The test will come, just like the reading here. That's why our Lord said, I deliberately made you hungry in the first reading, so that you would know you don't live just by bread. We don't just live by our toys and the things that we own and our health and our happiness and the sunshine that we're so grateful for today. I know all of us are. But we don't live for those things. We live for the Word of God. We live for the manna that he feeds us. He fed them with manna. In other words, this is the new manna, the bread from heaven. He feeds us with the Word of God. If we don't have those things, we're malnourished. If we're not hungry, we're not going to want to follow Christ. We have to be deprived at times. That's where most of the growth occurs. I don't like that very much. I don't think most of you do either. But that's the way God set things up. You remember how the first reading said, that's why our Lord tested you for 40 years with afflictions and hunger to see if you would follow his commandments. So the reading then is a kind of a test, but the answer to it is what Peter said, if you believe in me, you will have faith in me, and you won't leave me when you don't understand. So our Lord repeats to us 7 times, I wish that you will have eternal life. I want you to feed on my flesh and drink my blood. And what is his flesh and blood if not the Eucharist that we share and the Word of God that we hear? When we feast on these 2 banquets, we have eternal life when we follow what our Lord teaches and the direction he wishes us to go.